got good bait. I'm
going fishing. There it is, folks, our theme song. Leif Seberg's in here. We're going to do a little fishing report. Hey, Leif.
How's it going, Depp?
It is good.
All right.
And, you know, it's always, every day of the year is different around here. Every season is different. Clearly, we're in a different season. First off, rivers closed.
Rivers closed.
That's probably the main thing on your radar.
Oh, man, yeah. It's been eating me up. Last year, we got a short little...
I didn't mean to bring up something heartbreaking.
Yeah, last year, we got that short steelhead season in the beginning. Yeah. Lasted, a couple weeks or something?
Yeah.
Man, it was outstanding for the brief time that we had it. And this year, just due to low returns, nothing doing. So, yeah, just been having to get creative.
Well, you know, this whole thing, too. I mean, this is kind of what I was thinking about this morning. We're sitting here in a season where these late fall, early winter storms blow over. And I love this because it ordinarily recharges things.
Yeah.
But one thing that I think we may be looking at, this may be different as we go into the future here, is this may not be sticking up in the highlands or up in the mountains as snow.
Yeah.
It may stay liquid and come on out of there before, you know, the winter snowpack happens.
Yeah, this is true.
That's going to be way different. And I think we need to be watching Mama River to see, you know, how it'll be interesting. So keep an eye on that because we may be seeing a little bit different flow out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been reading a lot and listening a lot to these folks that are, professionals in that field of long-term weather prediction or climate model prediction. And I don't know. I almost have thought about not sharing my thoughts on the matter because I don't want people to feel as freaked out as I am on some levels.
But
we're going to see a lot of change.
Well, only because the darn issue has become politicized. If you take that crap out of there, it's just science. Yeah. And science will tell you it's been different each year for several years, surpassing the year that just went by for several years in a row. Yeah. Now, only a fool would notice that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's been bugging me lately is this one pretty tired argument that says, well, there's been warming and cooling in the past. And, I'm pretty sure dinosaurs weren't releasing chlorofluorocarbons and just completely trashing the environment. And,
we can
say that this has happened, but you can't deny the fact that we have added a level of toxicity to our usage of these resources, which we've pretty much used up in a lot of cases. And that's not something that's ever happened. And it's pretty much scapegoating the dinosaurs in the last ice ages to say that we can just do whatever we want, you know, whatever.
Well, you know what I always think about that? And it's true. Earth without people still went through cycles.
Yep.
And I read.
And natural cycles are good, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they do eliminate some populations. I mean, I was reading.
And create evolution in others?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, way back, probably about 1100, 1200, there was this great walrus hunting tradition that the Norse had. They would travel across the North Atlantic, and walrus were
everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. They were just massive amounts. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty easy game to, you know, and it just sustained these guys for a long time. They hunted them ruthlessly.
Uh-huh.
But there was a natural warming or maybe it was a cooling. Anyway, the walrus were actually losing slowly their habitat just through the cycle. Uh-huh. But it took a couple hundred years, but things changed. Yeah. They definitely changed.
So you've got to, like a river, be dynamic yourself as far as society needs to be able to look into the future and realize there's going to be change.
Well, you know, the other thing about this, and like I said, I hate that it's politicized because it's not a left side or right side argument. But, you know, here's how I do these things. When I see these pictures from outer space and you see these big metropolises, the big cities.
Those big cancerous sores.
Well, they look sort of gray.
They look, like
they look a lot
they're
like...
They're metastasized out with like these spider
look,
legs.
Yeah,
too.
They look a lot like apples that fall off my tree, sit on the ground a little too long, and the sore spots turn into rot spots.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Spreading mildew.
Yeah, I think
that can't be normal. Yeah, that can't be good. I don't know.
I think obviously we all got to look deep inside here and not only prepare to see the change that we are inevitably going to see, in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's going to start to weigh heavily on the human psyche as we start to see the loss of more and more habitat and more species. You know, I mean, I'm going to come out and just say the thing that I think is we'll probably have to adjust to the idea that salmon and steelhead won't be in our river for more than another, you know, 30, possibly 40 years at the very most.
I
think that's an easy bet to take. I'm more reasonably thinking within 20.
So. I've heard that, which is heartbreaking, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at me sitting right here. I mean, It's like ripped my frickin' soul out, you know, kind of. I'd heard of, like, psychologists. I couldn't remember what the term, I can't remember what the term is, but talking about what humans would do if they didn't have any of the natural environment left that they do. And they would kind of breed this type of psychosis that just, because you just don't have that good thing that you're always looking at or seeing, smelling, mm-hmm. you know, taking part in.
Well, if you ever contemplate, you know, having to homestead on Mars or the moon or something, it's pretty stark. You realize, ooh, that wouldn't be very fun.
No.
It would be a shame to have
like the Shining,
the Earth like that.
Yeah, you don't want to. We don't want to get there. Let's not get there, folks.
Well, you know, one thing. I mean, we've gone a little bit sideways here, but one thing that you and I have sort of kind of held on to is we're going to look at the river as sort of the life flow, the blood flow.
The pulse.
Yeah, the pulse of this area, and it tells us things. So even though we start talking about fish, I mean, that's what brought us here. And we watch that population. We really care about this river.
Everything's connected, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just losing our anadromous species wouldn't mean that would be where it ended. You know, that affects everything. You know, so I guess all we can really do is, like I say, be flexible in the coming decades, and also just really be working as hard as we can to come up with the right answers and implement those answers.
Yeah.
Try to get the frickin' politics out of it. That's, I think, one of the biggest things this disgusting election is showing us. And
you know, the thing about this, too, I mean, we've really gone to the side now. But
what are you going to do? We do a little bit of an editorial once in a while.
Well, yeah, but, you know, really, in reality, we the people, we kind of want the same things. There's a huge amount of overlap.
Yeah.
And the media and the political elite from both sides try to make it like you're on a team.
Yes.
Are you on this team or are you on that team?
Yeah.
No, we share a lot of goals.
The creators of the us and them are the people that benefit most from
exactly.
It,
and and I just don't believe that. I just opt out on that. I mean, I think we all, in fact, you could probably get everybody to say, no, we want this to be a better place for us and our offspring.
Absolutely.
You know, it's as simple as that.
I don't think you'd find a person in their right mind that would argue against that.
Yeah. I mean, there may be some different ways and nuances getting through that, but yeah, all in, we want to make it better, keep it good, enhance what's right.
I agree.
Get rid of what's wrong.
I agree.
Yeah.
How about some fishing?
Well, yeah. I mean, so steelhead season.
Yeah, no steelhead, but you know, I've been getting out, stretching my legs. Last week, we were over in the, Thomas and I were over in the Skagit Basin, you know, hitting that up, and the Cascade River is where we stayed. I like that smaller water. That was good.
I was going to say, that's a little bigger than usual a lot of times over there.
Pretty sure there will be stuff happening there for as long as you can get over the hill from here. It might be snowy.
Yeah.
I know for some folks listening out of Seattle area or whatever can still shoot up that way. I myself have been getting great reports from, you know, I'm just going to go down the list real quickly here for everybody, but, you know, great reports at Big Twin for frequency of catch, Little Twin for just really nice size fish, kind of fighting like they were 2 or 3 years ago. Maybe not the frequency of Big Twin, but Little Twin, great fish. Campbell looking really good, and Rat Lake. That one has been kind of a sleeper, been taking a while to get that one back into good condition. But it's sounding like there's some real big fish in there, potential of a good-sized brown trout, as well as your usual
rainbow trout
there.
Now, what's the deal with rat? Does it just get a lot of traffic?
It does, and quite frankly, in the past, we've had trouble with people going up there and shooting the outhouse with their guns. So it's... it's been a little off-putting for people, maybe not feeling safe in going up there and just kind of the garbage level. But I've talked to my friends at the department, the game wardens. They've been really trying hard to make that kind of an emphasis point, and they've seen a lot of difference there. So I would definitely, you know, say the buddy system is always good whenever you're in doubt. But I think it's, you know, I've seen some pictures of the place lately, and it's looking really cleaned up and a lot better. So.
Good.
You know, it's always been a great lake. So yeah. It's nothing that would ever keep me away. Just okay. A couple bad apples good. Out there. And it's been a few years.
So there's some lakes around and some good action from those lakes. Uh-huh. But you are planning to even maybe try something new.
You betcha. You're
going to move up.
Yeah, we're going to go hit those tiger muskies. My buddy Bob and I are heading over. I'm going to do a trip with a guy over there that he specializes in fishing spiny rays, really on the fly, kind of all the spiny rays, but in particular up there at Curlew, he's got a boat that's kind of built perfect, nice and low pro with lots of casting space to go after those giant tiger muskies. They can be 30 to 40 plus inches, 13, 15 pounders. So.
Whoa. Now, for folks who don't know exactly what these pikes and muskies and fish look like, they're brought in here from what, the Great Lakes or something like that?
Yeah, somewhere in that greater basin.
But they're a completely different. Why did they bring them in and what do they look like? Tell the people what they look like.
Well, the tiger is it's a mix between pike and muskie. So the tiger muskie has got like kind of a really a striped appearance, as you can imagine, kind of like an emerald green, dark and light emerald green cast. Holy cow, like an alligator looking face with just rows of teeth that you don't want to get your fingers anywhere near. I know.
We're so used to talking about these little salmonoid types and maybe some spiny rays, but these guys are something different.
Yeah, it's something else. You don't want to grab a bass around its back if you get poked, but you can stick your thumb right down in there. You'll just get kind of a soft spot on it by the end of the day. They call bass thumb. But this thing, boy, you just got to be careful in how you approach them.
And they get huge, and they're huge. Big, long-bodied guys. Yeah,
you know, like I say, 30 and 40-inch, you know, fish up there.
Holy mackerel.
I've seen some pictures that are absolutely outstanding. That's what drew me to doing it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine over in Spokane, she's pretty big in fly fishing over there. Uh-huh. She put up some great picks, and I'd already heard about it just before that, so I was like, okay, that's it.
And what kind of gear are you using on these big guys? Oh,
boy, we're using, I guess, 10, 11, and 12 weight rods, three sizes I've never actually used because, you know, I haven't gone outside of 9 weight myself, but it's because we're pitching, you know, like 6 to 12-inch long rainbow trout patterns at these fish.
Mackerel.
So not only are the fish big, but the flies are super huge too, so you got to be able to turn that thing over.
What is the natural food of these guys?
Well, that kind of leads into answering your original question with them too.
Oh yeah,
part one of that, which was why.
And
they're there for that purpose in that they are out to eat all those little undesirable spiny rays in this case, and also kind of double as a great sports fishery.
Okay,
so they're kind of equal parts both. And so, you know, this is one of those lakes where they've just done really well.
Cool.
You know, probably one of the better cases, that and maybe Evergreen down by Spokane. So, going to be hitting that up. Super stoked to hopefully have some good stories next week.
And pictures.
Yeah, and hopefully some pics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing, you know, before we go, Sarah, Miss Sarah Lane, first female guide on the Methow, proudly to say working for Methow Fishing Adventures, is she's been going over to Stehekin for a long time with her husband, Glenn. And she wrote a nice blog about that last trip that they took over there just a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I encourage people to go to the website there, flyfishersproshop.com. Check it out. It's got some great pics, speaking of pics, of the place and the fish. And, you know, just it sounds like a great time. She goes with John with Stehekin Fishing Adventures.
Okay.
And, you know, it sounds like that guy's really got it nailed. Stehekin's kind of that funny place. You got to walk, you got a boat, or you got to fly. So not everybody gets there. And so it's kind of like miniature Alaska.
And she kind of walked in over. She went up Twist River and walked over, right?
Well, they go from Bridge Creek up there on the pass.
Okay.
So it's a long ways.
Yeah.
It's one night, and then but with that, they get to fish all the way down the Stehekin from its source.
Nice.
So check out that blog. We'll get you some stories, hopefully, from Lake Curlew next week. And if anybody wants to book a trip out on these wonderful lakes that we got here in the Methow Valley, just give me a call at 509-429-7298 or drop me a line at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. Enjoy this fall, stay dry, and get that fish right on. Took on down to my favorite fishing hole. What you think that brother of mine did do? Caught a 7-pound perch on the bottom, creamy got it. Now I took him on the mama, say it's real gone. Come on, his bowl and his line. He was going fishing, and my mama's going.